Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. My co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Nonprofit Network, the Micro Nonprofit Network, and she will be joining me tonight, and we're going to talk about three challenges of your business. So it doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit or if you're self-employed or entrepreneur or if you're working in corporate America. So we want to talk to you about your challenges. So before I go any further, I just want to thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. We're having open mic, so if you have a question, you may call in at 1-661-554-9123, and if we have time, we'll answer each and every call. And we just want you to hang out with us tonight. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women, and then I'm going to bring on my co-host, Veronica McMillan, and she's going to tell you about the Micro Nonprofit Network. Issues Concerning Women was started in about 2007, and it was back then that I decided, along with a co-founder, that we wanted to help women to build their businesses, help them with their organizations, help them with their families, reaching their long-term and short-term goals. So that's one of the reasons why we started, and that's kind of been our mantra from the beginning. And in the last few years, I partnered with Veronica McMillan, and she has the Micro Nonprofit Network. So I'm going to bring her on tonight. Hey, Veronica, how are you?
Good evening, Francine. How are you, and how is the listening audience for today?
Great. I'm doing well, and I'm hoping that everyone is doing well. It's a beautiful Thursday evening in Hampton Roads, mm-hmm. So I'm always excited on Thursday evenings because we get to do our wonderful show. So I was just telling the audience a little bit about you. So you go ahead and jump in and tell them all about your Micro Nonprofit Network.
Okay, well, the Micro Nonprofit Network really kind of was started because I had a nonprofit called Let's Talk that we organized in 2005 and founded it for 501c3. And then in 2011, closed that up and just started doing just consulting work and, you know, did the consulting work all the way up until about 2016, and then just felt that through networking with other nonprofits, that micro nonprofits really, really needed a voice, and we needed us coming together to network and to talk about the specific needs of these little small organizations that primarily are making a less than $100,000 per year, because we are the ones that complete the 1023 EZ for an organization that fills that form out, that they're not exceeding $50,000 over a three-year time period, and that our specific needs, and I think sometimes we get lost in the sauce because we are nonprofit organizations, but we are micro, very small organizations, and so it was formed to help those nonprofits, excuse me, with getting started, because we know the struggle, and you know the struggle of a small for-profit business, and so it was to, you know, educate, to equip, and to empower small nonprofits to serve their community, and thus we have been doing that, and we're going into our third year. So that's a little bit about the micro nonprofit network, and again, founded by me. And in terms of nonprofit experience, I started in the nonprofit world in 2000, so I have about 18 years of experience, and I call it the school of hard knocks, because you learn so much through your own struggles and challenges. And you know, Francine, that we continue to learn even as we keep on moving forward with our businesses. So, yeah, so that's a little bit about the Micro Nonprofit Network.
Well, wonderful. And, Veronica, as you know, each and every day we're planning for success. But we also know that there are oftentimes some challenges that come along when we're building our businesses. And if you've been in business for a while, you may have to redo some things. So if you could share with the audience, and you've been in the nonprofit arena for a while, what are the challenges mm-hmm. that you have faced and how you have overcome that challenge, or if you're still working on the overcoming part?
I'm still working.
Okay. We shall overcome. Make me start singing.
Yeah. And so for me, I wrote down three challenges, and I guess we can go back and forth because I'm mm-hmm. doing the nonprofit side of it and you're doing the for-profit side of it. But I think this is true for both sides. I think one of the greatest challenges that small nonprofits or small businesses in general, because we know that most businesses don't last past 5 years. That's
mm-hmm.
true whether it's for-profit or nonprofit. But I think the access to capital is probably one of the most, it's the greatest challenge that most businesses face, is the challenge that we face. And because when you're getting started, usually funders don't want to give you any grants or anything until you've had at least a 4 or 5 year history, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
community, serving the community, showing the financials, showing the stewardship of the monies that you have, showing that you have a viable program that is grant worthy. And so while you're trying to get into that position, how do you get money? And one of the things that most people are looking at, they're maybe looking at a business line of credit. Well, who's going to give you that? And so
mm-hmm.
I'm shifting this year, looking at some organizations that primarily serve small nonprofits, and these are micro lenders. And so I'm still in that process of finding, you know, those lenders that will lend anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000. So that nonprofits will have a little bit, because, you know, we're used to working on shoestring budgets anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make $10,000 seem as if it was $1 million. But
yes.
That, I believe, Francine, in terms of for on the nonprofit side, I believe access to capital is one of those challenges.
Absolutely, and I agree 100%, and that was my number one as my challenge. So no matter whether you're in a small business, or if you call yourself an entrepreneur or gigpreneur or mompreneur or whatever title you give yourself, your main concern is where does your capital come from and how do you make your business grow? Because for us and any of us on either side, if the organization or the small business is not making money, then we're in trouble. And so we
mm-hmm.
always have to look at that. And for me, revamping the business and taking another really hard look at where I am and where I want to go and how I'm going to
mm-hmm.
plan for that success is a everyday challenge. But I think, Veronica,
yes.
this year, you know, and I, you know, I'm not a, you know, I have a crystal ball or I don't make predictions, but I know
mm-hmm.
that my feet are planted and I'm going to make those transitions and make those changes. And are they going to be easy? No. But I'm going to have to
mm-hmm.
do whatever it takes to make my business grow. And so I believe
mm-hmm.
anyone that is listening who has a small business, if you're not concerned about your finances, if you're not thinking, like Veronica said, about where you're going to get some seed capital from or how are you going to get a line of credit, then you're in trouble. So you need to be thinking about that. And the one little tip that I can give to anybody who's starting a business and just needs a little bit of funding, if you join a credit union, you can probably get around $2,000 to $4,000 on a signature loan and maybe a credit card if you have good credit. So I have to throw that in there. That can be
mm-hmm.
a little bit of seed capital for that individual, because so many times we hear people say, well, you know, I'm going to borrow from my friends and my family. That gets old real quick. they get sick
yes.
of us asking for money. It's like we always
mm-hmm.
got a campaign going, and we always got a GoFundMe
yes.
page, and we invite
yes.
people to things, and then they got to pay to come to your event. And they're like, well, wait a minute, what kind of business is this? So we have to look at
exactly.
our professionalism, look at where our businesses are going, and how we're going to grow our businesses. So I'm going to shut up and let Veronica do her number two.
And if I could just add a little caveat to that access to capital,
sure.
I think for the nonprofit side is basically what fee-based service do you have that can bring monies into your organization? And that's something that, you know, we're looking into, we're diving into even more this year because you have, I'll just say, let's say for instance, if your budget is $1,000, what fee-based service do you have that could come up, that you could come up with $500. So that way,
mm-hmm.
that service is going on a monthly basis and bringing revenues into the organization. And then lastly, who's doing the bookkeeping? How are you stewarding that money? Because
mm-hmm.
for the nonprofit side of it, at the end of the year, your 990 has to be completed. And what you want to do
mm-hmm.
is you want to come out that year in the positive. And it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that you're going to have your cousin doing your book work. You really need, that's why we're going to have the Brinkleys come on the show. I think is not next week or the week after, what have you,
mm-hmm.
to just really talk about the financial piece of it, because you still have to be a good steward over the money. And I think we have to move away from whether or not we're thinking we have these large sums of money. You might only
mm-hmm.
make $10,000 your first year. So how are you stewarding that, and who's making sure that that money is being allocated the way that it's supposed to be allocated,
mm-hmm.
and that at the end of the year you have someone that can do your book work for you. So that off of that horse, I just want to throw that in there because I think that that's so important. On the
mm-hmm.
nonprofit side, because so many people are looking at your organization to see whether or not it's going to thrive and whether or not you have good financial practices and best practices in place as you know,
mm-hmm.
as you move your business along every year. So with that
Absolutely.
Saying, what's my second one? The second one that I put, Francine, that I believe is a challenge for nonprofit organizations is being a program that's grant-worthy, because
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
as we move to looking at funders are holding on to the purse even tighter. When I started the
mm-hmm.
Let's Talk in 2005, the first, probably 6 or 7 months into it, we landed a $60,000 grant. I mean, and we were truly green at that time. And we landed a $60,000 grant. Well,
yes.
Fast forward, you know, now to where we are, a funder is not even thinking about you and you're just 6 or 7 months old. Then they're not giving
mm-hmm.
you funding. And so you have to really develop your program so that it is grant-worthy, which means that you have to have good outcomes. You have to have good goals. You have to have – now what they're looking at is evidence-based programs. So it can't be a homegrown program and that you're launching. You could have your homegrown program along with an evidence-based program so that when a funder is asking you if it's evidence-based, yes, it's evidence-based, and we're incorporating, you know, this, that, and the other into it as well. And then you can show that there is going to be an impact to the community and that there is an outcome that we're going to see a behavioral or attitudinal change. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
what I think people start off with passion. Oh, we just going to feed the homeless or work with teen girls
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. And all of that is great. That's wonderful. But when it's all said and done, will it be grant-worthy for a funder to say, hey, we will give you a $50,000 grant or a $100,000 grant or what have you? So I think for small nonprofits, because I get called all the time, people asking, and they don't understand that we are a nonprofit, but we have a fee-based service as well. We charge
mm-hmm.
a fee for our trainings and our consulting and all of that stuff. But they really have to develop a program that will be grant ready. So that's my number two challenge.
Okay, great. And that is excellent information from somebody that's listening, because a lot of times we don't even think that we can do something else, that we're thinking about, I'm going to get a grant, I'm going to get a grant, I'm going to get a grant, and it just doesn't work that way. And so for
mm-hmm.
me, on the small business side, you're always saying, I'm going to get a client, and it doesn't always work that way, you know? So we know that with me and running the small business, my products and services are filled by the clients that I have. So I'm always looking for another way to have another stream of income. And so for my number two, I have put bust a move. And what I mean is, once you make the decision to get in business and you want to be an entrepreneur, then you have to move. You have to get out there and work. You work for somebody else, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours, but you don't put in but 2 hours in your own business. That doesn't make sense. You have to make that decision to move, you know, get in the game. You know, you see so many people that are doing the same thing that you're doing because all markets are saturated. It's not just nonprofits anymore, you know, and even more now in nonprofits, but in small business, there are so many consultants. If we put a piece of paper together, each one of us held hands, it would go all across the country and back and overseas and back again, you know, because there are so many of us, you know. So when people are looking at your business and you're saying, I'm a consultant or I'm a, you know, a coach, they want to know what makes you different from all the other umpteen coaches out there. Exactly. What is your niche? And Veronica and I have been talking about that, finding our niche, finding our place in this economy, because we know there's a place for us, because God didn't give us these visions and these opportunities for us to sit here and be dormant. He wanted us to get out there and move and to be different, get in the game, make this your everything. And like Veronica said, you have that passion, and when you first get started, but, you know, 6 months in, you're like, well, you know, I don't have – no. If that thing is burning on the inside of you, it's going to keep burning. Sometimes our little lights do flicker. You know, they look like they're going out. But you need to get with some people who are like-minded, who people who are going places, who are moving forward. You got to just get in the game. That's my number two.
Exactly. Yep, yep. So we're moving on to our number three, yeah?
We sure are.
All righty.
Unless you had something to throw in there on that number two.
I think basically with my number two, I kind of said it all. And so for those of you all who are listening, certainly you all want to connect with us. You know, I've been thinking about roundtables and all of that stuff, thinking about other ways in which we can connect with people where people don't have to physically come, because people are moving away from the brick and mortar kind of building. You got to come to the training, and they're moving to that online stuff, and so, and doing webinars and all that stuff. So as this year goes on, as we, you know, we think about how do we reach our audience, I think that's going to be, you know, another way that we can help people understand that this is something that we're not talking academics. We're talking about we've been in the game. We understand. We're in the trenches like everybody is. We're foot soldiers out there doing this stuff. And all of the challenges and mistakes that we've made, we turn around and use those as opportunities and teaching opportunities to let people know.
Absolutely.
We're not just talking about stuff that you know, pie in the sky. We live this stuff every day as small entrepreneurs, moving our businesses on to become great big entrepreneurs. So in my number three, because I could just go on and on with this, Francine. Because, you know, you and I have been, you know, we've been doing this stuff a long time, and so I always tell people that I come to the table with a PhD in life and business because of the fact that you've gotten the scars, you've gone through the craziness, you've been hurt, you've been backstabbed, you've been done wrong, you didn't get the contract, you didn't get the, you know all of the scenarios, but you still keep fighting. So it's what we have to do. So for those of you all who are listening, know that we get this because we live this on a daily basis. So with that said, my third and last one is, I said, get individual donors to support the organization, because it's so important that individuals support. And that could be supporting financially, or that could be supporting through volunteering of the time and expertise and talent that they have. It is really about being, you know, constant marketing. That's one of the reasons why we decided to do radio, because we wanted to reach out to people who may not necessarily be in our – local area, but also just basically getting that support, the social media exposure, all of those things I believe is important, that constant networking, constant marketing, it's so key. And so getting the support, and that's truly, I believe, a challenge for small nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. That is so good, Veronica, because people need to hear us actually say it. You know, and I think sometimes people get the misconception that we're doing great, and we're not saying that we're not doing well. We're happy with what we're doing. We just haven't advanced to the place where we thought we would be, and sometimes it's not in our timing anyway. So we understand that. But when people are looking at us, and they was like, well, you know, they've been in there for a long time. But yes, we have to keep evolving, and we have to keep up with the times and keep changing. And I remember the times that I wouldn't touch a computer. I was like, no, not doing that unless I have to, you know. But I finally gave in, and I realized that if I'm going to advance into the 21st century, then I got to get on board. And now I am like, okay, I want to learn everything I can. I'm building websites for other people, for my clients. You know, that has become one of my avenues of income. When I fought so hard not to do it, I would rather just pay somebody. I'm like, nope, not doing that. I don't want to learn that. But when you're looking at your business or your organization, you have to be the one that determines what comes next for you. Even if you have your business plan written, and it's not to say that you really deviate from the plan, you just add to it. There are always amendments, and I tell everybody that. We don't want you to have like 6, 7, 8, 9 different plans and all over the place. We want you to have, if you have a good, solid plan, then we want you to stay on that track and to add to that, so an amendment. And so before I go into my number three, if anybody is just tuning in and you're wondering, what in the world are them two talking about? This is Concerning Women, and I'm Francine Humphrey, and with my co-host Veronica McMillan, and we're talking about our challenges in our businesses and in our nonprofit arenas. And if you would like to contact us after the show, I'm going to give my information, then Veronica's going to give hers, and then we're going to go into my third challenge. So my telephone number is 757-567-6734. If you want to go to my website, it is CerningWomen.org, or you can go give me a message through email at ICWDirector@gmail.com. And Veronica is going to give you her information.
Okay, and telephone number is area code 757-572-0974. Email me at letstalkveronica@gmail.com. That's all one word. And then website is www.micrononprofitnetwork.com. Or you can go to Veronica McMillan. What is it, Francie? VeronicaMcMillan.net.
VeronicaMcMillan.net. Yes.
Not that. To connect with me on all of those things. And I'm just, I don't have my little Twitter handle and all that stuff. And so basically, and of course, we're on Facebook and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
But Francine, you were talking about basically what your third one was going to be.
Okay, great. And for me, my third one is asking for help, not being afraid to. And so many times we are sitting there, we're looking at the computer, we're looking at our checking account. You know, Veronica was talking about your due diligence, making sure that your accounts are all intact, trying to keep the money separated, because whether you're a for-profit or non-profit, the money has to be separated. If you're working to, you know, and if you have a side job, that has to be separate from your business, you know. So all of these things are important, and we do need help. So please, please, if you are in business and you're feeling alone, please ask for help. We are here to help you, and that's the one thing that I wanted to make sure that you really clearly understand. We're not just on this radio program just because we want to talk, because both of us can talk, but we're on this program because we want to help you, and we don't want you to feel like you're alone. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs that I have met over the years, that's the one thing they miss. They miss having that that opportunity to go or get online or meet with somebody and talk about the challenges that they're facing. And I think Veronica does such a good job with doing that. I tried, Facebook was just not my friend today. I tried to post a little video about what the program was going to be about tonight, and I don't know if it ever came up, but it nevertheless, it may come up tomorrow, whatever, because they tend to filter certain information. But I wanted the audience to know that you're not in this alone. We are here to help you. So whether you need to, you know, send us an email or come to something that we're having or just meet one-on-one or meet online, you know, I used to have Skype. I don't know if I still have it. I would have to look and see if I do. But the one thing is that when you are alone, and whether you're in business or not, it gets to be devastating if you're not moving in the direction that you want to go to. You're feeling alone. You're feeling lost. You're just not happy. You want to throw in the towel. And if you listen to, you know, other people who are in business, and they'll tell you, you're probably just one step away from something great happening, but you just don't see it coming because you're not able to express yourself. So I would encourage you to contact me or contact Veronica, or even if you don't, if you live in another state and you can't get to us, get with another group, get with like-minded people. And I have to keep saying that you have to be with people who are going to encourage you. You have to be with people who have an attitude like you and have attributes like you. So many times we don't, we want to connect with people because they look like the person we need to connect to, and they're not always the right person for us. So we have to be very mindful of that. And know who you can talk to about your business and know that you need help sometimes and you just don't be afraid to ask for it. And for the small businesses, it is so important that you do that. You know, find mentors, find people to talk to, because we are not in it alone. It is so many of us. And just like I said earlier, you know, if we look, you know, try to put all of the consultants and the business owners, you know, on a map, we probably couldn't all fit on there. But it's so many of us, and we're not connecting with each other and lifting each other up.
Yeah.
And I read an article today. I'm going to share that, and then I'm going to be quiet because I got like 3 minutes, and then I'm going to let Veronica talk. But they were talking about Hampton Roads. I know. And this is Hampton Roads is our home. I don't know if I'm ever going to go anywhere else. I'm not sure. But I was really taken aback by the articles that said that Hampton Roads is not growing economically. We, you know, we have a great military base here. You know, we have the not just the military, but other organizations like, you know, the shipyards and all that. They're all military and government facilities. Mm-hmm. That's true. But we have an influx of people coming in and out all the time, moving in, in Virginia Beach and Chesapeake and Norfolk and Portsmouth and Hampton. And I just don't understand why we're not growing. And the economic development president said he was a little dismayed because the leaders were not coming together to sit down at the table and talk to them about the community. So I just want to encourage you, if you are, you know, a leader, or whether you're a leader of a church or an organization, if you're climbing the corporate ladder, then you need to get out in the community to figure out what's going on so that we can help those who are less fortunate than us and help those who are starting their businesses, give them support, and we need to support each other. And that's my little soapbox. I'm going to be quiet now. Veronica, take the floor, girlfriend.
Well, in the few minutes that we have, I was thinking about when we there was a comment about our businesses being small and our impact. But I remember listening to, I think it was Bishop Bloomer, George Bloomer on television, and he made this great statement. He said, true leadership is not about size or numbers. It's about impact.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you all listening, it really is about who have you impacted. And I know for myself, over these 18 years, I've helped over 200 nonprofits get started. I was just looking at, you know, I was like, oh my God, you know, in terms of getting started and moving and going. Coached a slew of women, done several workshops and stuff. And so when you think about that, you have to flip the script and say to yourself, don't worry about whether or not your organization is big or small. What kind of impact are you having on the people that you are serving, that you have been called by God to serve? And if that's 10, 25, whatever, celebrate that. And that's in work from that point on. And don't look at whether or not you got two people on board, because you're going to always have your ups and downs. And so I just wanted to say that framing, that it really is about how impactful are you in what you're doing and the people that you're trying to serve.
Absolutely. So we are going to end the show. We got like 30 seconds. Veronica, it has been wonderful. And I just thank you, my sister,
yes,
for always being there and wanting to share with the community. If you would like to get in touch with me after the show, is 757-567-6734. Veronica, give them your phone number so they can call you.
Phone number 757-572-0974.
Alrighty. So it has been great. I hope you were empowered by our show tonight, and we want you to tune in again next week where we're going to have a special guest, and we'll be letting you know as the days come forward who that's going to be. So come back next Thursday at 6:30. We appreciate you. God bless you all, and good night.
Good night. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.